What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Sean Kane here, your host and lineup logic, the NBA Daily Fantasy Podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the NBA DFS slate to come on FanDuel, and official voice of the tilt today. Oh my gosh, RIP, man. Brutal night in the NBA Wednesday slate. Absolutely. I mean, not brutal if you were on the right guys. There's people winning money, that's for sure. There's absolutely money to be won out here, and people are, you know, some really great scores and some really great numbers. I personally am not one of those gentlemen. I have one line that I really, really like. It's doing really well. But of course, that's just a random GPP line that I didn't play in my cash. I know I'm not alone. We are all in this together, right? What's that corny song? But hey, we got a Thursday slate to break down, man. We'll preview that night to come in the NBA. We'll talk spreads. We'll talk injury news. You know, and before we do that, we're gonna recap the lineup. We're gonna look at some things to learn from this slate, because there's absolutely things to learn from this slate. You know, I mean, I think there's something to learn from every slate, we gotta think about it. We gotta figure out what the heck went wrong. So let's go ahead and jump into the recap. One of these nights. Okay, so you know, we're gonna have massive cash lines tonight for sure. 300 north of 300, no question in my mind. I ended up with two lines, one of which I feel really good about right now, and one of which is really, really struggling. But one, the cash line that I ended up with, which was just the show line that was centered around LeBron, McConnell, Rondo, Oladipo, Harris, Braun, Middleton, Saric, Marv, and Adams. And I mean, basically just, I'm on the wrong side of, I'm on the wrong side of the value tonight. You know, I thought for sure that we would see some good performances from some of these guys that might go under the radar a little bit, under-owned, and I certainly got them under-owned. TJ McConnell, very under-owned. Dario, Marvin Williams, under-owned. You know, and we suffered, first of all, we suffered a massive blowout in the Philadelphia-Oklahoma game, pretty much over in the third quarter. Russ bounced back, like I said, but he didn't even hit 60 points because he came out in the third quarter. The game was over. Between him and Enes Kanter, absolutely destroying people. You know, you add to that then the massive numbers from the Detroit-Chicago, the value guys there, not Rondo, but Mirotić, Laverne, those guys absolutely blowing up. And then, you know, some really big numbers from guys in the Washington-Atlanta game, which is still going on. Bradley Beal, you know, we talked about him. I was a little bit worried about his price. I still thought he was a pretty solid play, but Bradley Beal explodes for almost 50 points, you know, and Tim Hardaway Jr. does the same, not 50, but, you know, does it really well. You know, it's just not enough. I've got TJ McConnell going 3x, Rondo going 4x, Oladipo goes 3x, you know, Harris playing well, LeBron is getting destroyed. I have no idea what's up with LeBron tonight. I'm not watching the game. I was doing notes. Dario gets taken out because of the blowout. Marv comes back, gets his act together in the third quarter, but gets taken out of the game for Frank the Tank, who ends up doing really, really, really good work. And Steven Adams doesn't play the fourth quarter because of the blowout. So you got a bunch of guys who are at 3X and an underperforming stud, and you're pretty much dead in the water. I think the thing that we have to think about when I'm looking at some of the top lines up here is, you know, what do you do in a situation when the basically every guy who's at the top of the value chart, as far as, you know, Roto Grinders and all the other major outlets are concerned, the chalkity chalk 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 is really, really, really doing well. If you're not on them, you know, you struggle. And that's really, really the hard part here is that, you know, sometimes one of the things that, you know, especially on the show, we like to do is, you know, we don't just go straight to the projections and, you know, click who's the top value here, who's going to do the best, you know, and a lot of people do. And in situations when those people end up, you know, being right because they played the right guys, then it's really hard to stay in the money because you have a majority of the field, you know, 20, 40% of the field on plays that are crushing value. And they're going to push people who try to differentiate themselves at all way out of there. You know, and the reverse is true as well. And that has worked really, really good, really, really well for us in a lot of situations. But for the primary cash line that I'm using, it's not working tonight. Now, that said, I did run out another line, and I've got Kyrie, Rondo, Tim Hardaway Jr., Evan Fournier, Jimmy, Middleton, Jokic, Cantor, and LaVerne. You know, all guys that I talked about on the podcast. It's just the right assembly of guys who are doing really, really good work. And, you know, nobody really owned, I mean, Enes Kanter is owned at 9%, but I mean, if you didn't see that Enes Kanter was able to have a good game in this situation, then you just weren't paying attention. But again, he's not owned because he wasn't at the top of the value chart. Nikola Mirotic was there, and everybody, you know, all those other guys. People played Aaron Gordon. I wasn't really interested in Aaron Gordon. This line's doing really, really well. You know, but I've got guys who are pretty much all owned above 20%, most in the 25 to 30 range, you know, highly owned guys, and that's keeping me afloat. So, you know, that's the thing about chalk, and I think this is one of the lessons that we, you know, we talk about trying to maybe create a little bit of variance in your lines to get an edge up on the field. Well, sometimes when the chalk hits, you get the opposite of an edge. You get smoked by the chalk, and we're getting smoked by the chalk tonight, personally. You know, hopefully this line will take home a little bit of cash, you know, just to kind of push the balance, push the needle up a little bit more. But, you know, one of the first nights that in a while that will be, you know, taking a hard L here. So hopefully you guys in listener land, you know, it's like I said, it's late Wednesday. Hopefully in listener land, people are doing okay. I hope guys, you know, we had a lot of these guys in our player pool that people were on. We've had them in the player pool on the cheat sheet 100%. You had to assemble them the right way. I just didn't assemble them in the right way in my cash line. You know, my GPP line, yeah, I did, but not in my cash line. So, hey, what are you going to do, man? Sometimes you're going to take an L. And tonight I'm going to take an L for my cash game. So hopefully I can push a little bit of money in this GPP, but we'll see. But hey, we got a Thursday slate that we got to break down. It's a weird slate. It's a weird slate. It is five gamer. So let's dive into the spreads tonight. Okay, so like I said, five game slate here, and an interesting one. We've had a lot of really nice slates this week. You know. I don't know if this is one of them. I got to be honest with you. I don't love this slate. But we'll break it down. We'll figure out where we're at, you know, and you can listen. The thing I always say is even on an ugly slate, somebody's winning money. First game of the night, we've got Toronto going down to Miami. 203 over under here. Miami favored by 3. Actually, not surprised by that line at all. You know, Miami playing really high quality defense and playing well at home. So, I like Miami in this game to just kind of stifle the Raptors, especially since we have Serge Ibaka serving his suspension. You know, you have one less scorer there, and that makes a massive difference for the Raps here. No Ibaka really, really challenges the front line there, and I think Miami's bigs will be able to do some good work. You also have Hassan Whiteside is dealing with the finger. a thumb situation. I think he's probable, though. He's probably going to play. I don't see, unless he has a setback, I don't see any reason that he won't play. Phoenix at Brooklyn, 219 total here. This is a really great game for fantasy purposes. Obviously, two young teams with a lot of value plays, playing at a massively high pace, second highest total on the slate. Absolutely stackable, game stackable for sure. No question in my mind that this is where you want to be overweight tomorrow. At the same time, somewhat hard to predict, kind of a Brooklyn favored by 2 right now at home, 3 in some spots. It's interesting. But it should be a really good game for fantasy purposes. So if you want to be overweight on one game, that's the one. No injuries to can be concerned about. I have no idea about Alan Williams, I'll be honest with you. Hopefully we're going to be glued to that glued to that news for sure. Clippers at Dallas, 207 total here in this one. Clippers favored by 3 on the road, and this is a game that the Clippers really want here, no question about it. But not a pace-up game here. This is going to be kind of a slow, grinded-out type situation, definitely see the Clippers getting the W here, no question about that. It's just a question of, what we see from the Dallas side of the ball, whether or not they're going to be able to make this competitive with the Clippers team that's playing pretty well right now, to be honest with you. I mean, considering that they won their last 3 games, the Lakers, the Knicks, and the Cavs games, basically by only playing 25 minutes with their starters, really tells you something about the quality of that first unit with DeAndre, Blake, and CP3. They're feeling it right now. They're feeling it, which is when you want to be feeling it, right before that playoff run. Get a good push in and make sure you take that 4 seed and see who gets the 5. Memphis at San Antonio, 201 total here. San Antonio favored by 8. Memphis is struggling right now, man. They just don't have legs. I really think that's what it is. I got to be honest with you. I really think that their legs are struggling right now. They're really feeling pretty worn out in this one. Should be a decent game. From a basketball perspective, but should be an easy one for San Antonio. Not an easy one, but a win for San Antonio. So no serious injuries to be worried about in that one. New York at Portland, 219 total here. Portland favored by 8. Portland needs this game. Got to think that they're going to press and really try to make sure they take control of it early. New York just released, by the way, some news that Hornacek is going to be resting the veterans. Basically, he's going to be resting Melo and not playing him full minutes. So we're not going to look at Melo in this situation, not like we really were looking at Melo, but we definitely don't want to look at Melo in a spot where he is going to be getting, where he's going to be getting some, lower usage and lower minutes. Not a lot of run there. That's it. Like I said, I mean, a weird little slate. So, we'll see where we're at. We'll see where we're at after we break down the player pool. There's definitely some viable plays here. A lot of people say GPP night for sure. But also, hey, man, night when if you don't want to play, don't play. You don't have to. You don't like it, wait till the Friday slate. The Friday slate is nice. Wait for that. Wait for Saturday. Saturday's got a nice slate too. So, by the way, you can play the PGA line that I have on my timeline. My buddy Paul, good, like real life friend of mine, he's like cracking down the PGA thing. He's a golfer. He loves it. PGA line on my timeline, although the lineup lock is in the morning. So if you hear this tomorrow after lineup lock for PGA, you may miss that. Anyway. All right, let's go into the player pool and figure out who we love. Who do you love? Okay, so let's start at the top here. We're going to sort through our studs and figure out where we want to spend our money. It's an interesting slate, and there's a couple studs to choose from, but there's a couple that I'm really not all that interested in. So let's figure out what we got here. At point guard, it's obviously Damian Lillard, 9-9, going to New York, or getting New York at home. This is a season high price for Damian Lillard, okay? But you got to love the matchup. You got to love the situation. They want W's at all costs, no question. Dame's averaged 46 in the last five. He's averaging 34 real-life points. Whoa. Dude is just a pure scorer, man. Bucket getter to the 10th degree. Love that about him. But it also makes him a little volatile. You know, he doesn't contribute in other areas, which isn't always your favorite thing, but he does have massive upside because he can go takeover. Knicks have allowed, I mean, the Knicks are pretty bad against the point guard. It's interesting. I broke them down, right? We were attacking them at the point guard, and they are bottom 10 as far as DVP, but I don't want to get that statistic twisted around too much. They're actually, they're bottom half of the league in DVP, in total fantasy points. But if you sort it by categories, they only allow 20 points per game, and that's top five. Now, where they really give it up is in the peripherals, rebounds and assists. Now, they're a bad rebounding team in general, so they give up a lot of rebounds to any position. But they give up they give up 10 assists a game, multiple assists a game. Now, Dame isn't really an assist machine, but you like the fact that maybe he can get a couple extra assists in there. That's pretty solid. That's a pretty solid situation. I don't see 48 to hit value. Yeah. He only had 36 last time when they were in New York, and he only scored 22 real life points, which is about right for what the Knicks allow in far as scoring, right? So, you know, not a perfect situation as far as I can see for Dame, but not a bad situation at all. They need the win. It's a plus matchup as far as just points allowed. So I think he's okay, you know. Shooting guard, we got DeRozan at 9K going down to Miami. Guys, we're not going to get 64 out of DeMar. We're going to get regression in the opposite direction, okay? In fact, I think there's a lot of good reasons to get off DeRozan here in this spot. Heat are top 10 in defensive efficiency. DeRozan only scored 32 in two games against the Heat this year. And let me ask you a question. Would you start DeMar DeRozan against the Jazz? Nope, you wouldn't, okay? The Heat are only one half a point below the Jazz in DVP to the DVP to guards. They're very good at team defense. They do not allow guard scoring. I don't think we're going to see 60 points from DeRozan. I have a hard time believing he's going to pay off that 45-point price tag, especially with the way Miami wants to play, grinding out the pace, nice and slow, no Ibaka on the floor to relieve pressure and unclog the middle. I just don't see it for DeRozan in this situation. You may feel differently, but I'm personally hoping people will chase that, and I will just kind of fade that DeRozan game and say, you know what, I missed it. I'll wait for the next one. It's a perfect example, though. I mean, this is regression in the opposite direction. This is why you don't chase points, okay? This is why you target guys who are underperforming, and then you, boom, you hit them when they're ready to bounce back. But this is an overperforming. You don't want to chase, you know, you don't want to chase someone who's had an outlier game. It's just not going to happen. We saw with Jimmy tonight, you know, regression to the mean. He goes right back and has a nice game against Detroit, but he doesn't go for 60. He goes for 44. Nice game, but pretty average performance for Jimmy Butler. Kawhi at small forward, he's 9-3. He's getting Memphis. You know, if you've played Kawhi in the last week or so, you know that it's very tilting. It's very, very difficult. It's very frustrating to be on Kawhi right now, to be honest with you. He's not being pushed, right? It's hard to predict when Kawhi is going to go off. Pop isn't going to push him. He's not going to force him to play extra minutes if they're controlling games. He's not going to ask him to do too much. The team doesn't need him to do too much. They don't have a problem with the two seed. Let's be very clear about this. He's getting minutes, but he's not exerting himself as far as peripherals. You know, there's not a lot of rebounds or assists. There's one 30-point game in the last five. And he did get 36 minutes against Memphis last time. He just didn't score more than – he scored 22 points. You want Kawhi in a situation where he has to go take over and score 30 points. So you want him against a pace-up team. You want him in a situation in an offense that can score a lot of points, and he has to match their volume, right? This is why we see big games from him against Houston, big games against Cleveland, stuff like that, because he matches their volume. He says, if you need me to score, I'll score. But if you don't need me to score, let's manage the game. Let's get out of here and let's get the W. And that's what Pop does. And so, you know, 9-3 for Kawhi, who's been very, very inconsistent, makes me nervous. But he's always in a good spot here because he's going to play minutes against a competitive Memphis team. You know, like I said, the thing that probably concerns me is that Memphis just hasn't shown a lot of oomph lately. I think they're showing a lot of fatigue. Their age is showing this late in the season, and they are struggling. They're in a little bit of pain right now. They're not playing very well. So, not my favorite spot to roster Kawhi, but I think if I could fit him in, I might. Roster construction is a real bear this time, man. I'm telling you guys, it's not fun building roster. I sat here for like 20 minutes and tried to just find this perfect balance. Every time I was like $100 off, you know. Just one of those slates where you're just like, oh God, this is obnoxious. This is so difficult. And you know, you just can't, there's not enough options. It's like, all right, I need a 6K shooting guard. Oh, there's literally not one 6K shooting guard. It's interesting. Anyway, all right, power forward, it's Blake. He's 9K. He's getting Dallas. Dallas, pace down. And stingy in the front court, to be honest with you, with scoring. They're very stingy against centers and power forwards from a DVP perspective because they're just stingy against scoring. They play so slowly. You know, you have to realize they are one of the slowest teams in the league. So when you play against them, you aren't going to have a high total. You're going to have way fewer possessions. And they want to control the pace of the game. And they're going to do that at home, no question. However, Blake will see full minutes. He's going to see full effort. You know, there's no question in my mind. Clips want this game. It's a conference game. They're on a roll. They need to get as many wins as they can going into the Utah game coming up this weekend because Utah's playing the Knicks right now. And, you know, hey, I'll give you guys a hint how I think. What? I'm sorry. I'm looking at. I just pulled up the score. The Knicks are up by 9. What the frickin' A? Oh my gosh, that's wonderful. Rich and compelling. I love Anchorman. I just want to go out there and say that publicly. Saw it about 8 times in theaters when I was 17 years old. God. Man, that was a great summer. Nothing to do but trouble. Anyway, all right, rich and compelling. Utah, well, hopefully Utah bounces back out of this hole against the Knicks. That's so funny to say. Anyway, I think Utah gets the win against the Knicks. If they don't, then the Clips, man, they're going to be really happy going into this game against Dallas that they probably should be able to get in this one. The thing that we like is that Dallas is a terrible rebounding team, and the Clips are a good rebounding team. You know, so Blake here in this situation, he's gonna be facing a team that's fifth worst in rebounds allowed to the power forward, but top 5 in DVP. You know, it's kind of like that Knicks situation. It's a little bit deceiving, you know, because it all comes out in the wash. But they're really bad at one thing, but really good at the other thing. Okay. So, you know, I guess he's going to see Nerlens or Dirk. That doesn't really scare me. Dirk on Blake doesn't really scare me. You know, he played limited minutes against them earlier this year, only 25 minutes. But last year, full minutes, in the two games against them last year, or three games, excuse me, he had full minutes in each of them and averaged very steadily, like not like outlier performances, averaged 21-10 with 4 assists and a block. That's 40 FD points. I think that's pretty likely for Blake in this situation. 38 points sounds about right to set that number there, and hopefully you get a couple extra, maybe buckets here, if they're playing full minutes down the stretch. But yeah, I mean, 38 points sounds like a pretty good starting place for Blake at 9K. That's not bad. That's really not bad. You could do worse than that. At center, it's Hassan Whiteside at 8-7. Whiteside is probable. You know, the thumb, I don't really think it's a thing, or finger, whatever it is. I don't really think it's a thing. He went to shoot around. I think he's going to play. He's going to see a Toronto front court that doesn't have Ibaka in it. You know, they're going to be pretty light down low. And Jonas Valanciunas, he couldn't guard Rolo last night before the fight. The Geico caveman got one over on him there. You know, he had a double, he had a double-double before. He had 12 and 12 before that fight. So JV is not a great defender. He's pretty slow. I think Whiteside will be able to have his way with them. Whiteside's averaged 42 in two games against them this year. We have to remember the Toronto front court without Ibaka was kind of a disaster. And that was why they went and got Ibaka and Tucker. They were like, we need some size. We need some muscle down here. They got nothing. And they went and got Ibaka, which has helped a lot. But he's not there. He's suspended for throwing hands. You know, he's averaged 44 in the last five. He's in really good form right now. You know, and I don't think it's Chasey, right? It's not Chasey because we're not, this price is very reasonable. 8-9 for Hassan Whiteside aligns with his season averages. It's not, you know, that's not bad. And we have to remember, without Waiters, he is one of the top offensive options on the Heat. You know, he gets the, it's Johnson, it's Dragic, and Whiteside. They're all the biggest bump there. For offensive usage. So I see a double-double in Whiteside's future, no question. But we'll keep an eye on the finger news to see, you know, if it's in trouble at all or whatever. You know, and then you add, let's go down. We don't have anything to add about. I don't have anything to add about Whiteside. What I will say is this. We have Fantasy Grout at point guard. We've got Tyler Ulis. He's 6'8". He's got Brooklyn. I love Tyler Ulis. You know why I love Tyler Ulis? Because even though he went to Kentucky, he's a rookie that got drafted in way down in the second, third round. I forget where it was. I think bottom of the second round. I love it, man. And he's playing well. Like, he's an NBA quality point guard. And he's kind of classically point guard. He's a classic player. He's not, you know, he's basically Eric Bledsoe Jr. He's, you know, he's that little mighty mite style where he can get to the basket. He's super quick and has an eye for passing. So, you know, I love Tyler Ulis. He's easy to root for. He's get that Brooklyn bump in price, though, even after he had that disaster in Miami. You know, prime bounce back spot here in Brooklyn. All the Phoenix Suns are priced up, with the exception of TJ Warren, which doesn't make any sense. But hey, here's what's great about Tyler Ulis, okay? The assist numbers and plus matchups. We look at Ulis in these last couple games. One of the things we have to remember is it was very chasey to go after Ulis at Miami. They're a very good defense, and he had been performing phenomenally well. Don't get me wrong. But he was performing phenomenally well against teams like Portland, Sacramento, Orlando. You know, the Detroit game was impressive. But in a lot of these games, you know, what I really like, the thing that I really like is the double-digit assists. Yes, he's got the double-digit scoring as well in a lot of them, but the double-digit assist, pardon me, double-digit assists is really where you get the bump for a point guard like this, you know, and I think the minutes are just massive right now. They're in full-on player development mode in Phoenix, so almost 40 minutes in all these games. He's going to get the ball for a long time here. I have no problem going to Ulis. I like Ulis quite a bit in this situation. So, you know, let's go ahead and feel good about Tyler Ulis here. Now, at shooting guard, there's two guys that I like here. CJ McCollum at 7-8. He's got a massive price. It's kind of a big price tag, but he gets a bump because of the Knicks. Great spot for him. Knicks struggled at the shooting guard all year long. They're bottom 10 in 3 points allowed per game. They're below average against the shooting guard. And McCollum's an above average shooting guard. Best thing about it is that McCollum is actually better at home. I really, really like him at home. He's averaged 35 FanDuel points in Portland this year. And he shoots more threes at home. You know, he shoots roughly five and he shoots over six at home. So I love McCollum to, you know, just kind of start firing the ball against a pretty weak Knicks backcourt defense. So he's a pretty solid option for my money. I see him with a similar outcome to DeMar, to be honest with you. 35 points plus. And, you know, normally we'd want more, but on this slate, you know, these high-priced shooting guards, you take 35 points, I think. I think, though, you can go easily over to Devin Booker, too. Devin Booker getting the Nets. You know, I mean, here it is. Booker loves to score. Booker's going to be guarded by a rookie. Booker's going to feel like he's back at Kentucky. Okay? I mean, he's going to get Randy Foy, who's a veteran, but then a lot of the minutes he's going to get Caris LeVert. Okay. You know, it's March Madness, baby. Let's go, Devin Booker. You know, he's also very scoring dependent, and this is a high price tag to pay for him, but, you know, when pace up games where you have a plus DVP situation, Booker can really get hot. Minutes are rock solid, usage rock solid. It's an easy spot to lock him in for 30-point floor and then see what else he does. I like Devin Booker quite a bit here. All right, well, small forward's not very hard, to be honest with you. It's TJ Warren at 6'6". I mean, same thing that I said about Devin Booker, a very similar situation. Warren, honestly, if I had to pick between the two of them, and I think if you're picking between the two of them, I'm going to go with TJ Warren here. He does more. He rebounds, he shoots, assists, he plays defense. I love him here. Yeah, he does more than score, and that's the kind of player that you want because those peripherals are where you get ceiling. Okay. You know, and against similarly profiled teams like the Lakers, for example, he had a double-double, points and rebounds. Booker's not going to get you a double-double. He can get you 30 points, but he's not going to get you a double-double. But TJ Warren is going to get I think he's a lock for a double-double here. You know, some starting point at 15 and 10, and we'll see where he goes from there. At 6'6", he's just a really great price, really great fantasy asset for cash games. Really, really, really happy with TJ Warren in this spot. No problem whatsoever playing him, locking him into my lineups tomorrow night. Now, at power forward, Porzingis. Kristaps Porzingis at 7K. Knicks are resting Melo like we talked about. Okay, they're reducing his minutes. I mean, Zinger is going to be the centerpiece, man. That's really awesome. I mean, not only is it awesome for the future of basketball, it is awesome for us as fans to get to watch, you know, the next generation of the Knicks. You know, let's move Melo out of New York. Let's let Zinger have the franchise. Let's get Phil Jackson and Dolan out the door, and let's build around Porzingis, man. Anyway, regardless of my personal feelings about Porzingis. Steady as she goes the last couple games, playing his minutes at the four and the five. You know, they have a little bit of a small ball lineup, which is pretty cool to watch. He's averaged 35 in the last five games. He had 43 against them earlier this year. Yeah, I mean, it's a really good spot for Porzingis. You know, they're not going to rest him. They want him to develop. They want him to continue to see the floor. You know, similarly, he just had a massive game against Brooklyn, 43 points against Brooklyn. They profile very similarly against power forward Brooklyn and Portland. You know, pretty bad team as far as just rebounding and points allowed. So, you know, if the Knicks are going to have a chance, they're going to hand the ball to Porzingis and they're going to say, "Go to work, big fella." And you know, they're going to give him as many minutes as he can handle, which is awesome. So, you know, absolutely love Porzingis in this situation. Definitely want to roster him, locking him in for sure. You know, the other thing, there's two here. I think Dirk is in a decent spot at 6K. You know, definitely not a bad situation at all to roster Dirk. But I also think you could go back to James Johnson. I know it's time. I know it's hard to, for us a lot of us. And if you don't want to go there, that's fine. There's other options. You can go away from Johnson. But I think you can go back to James Johnson. I really do. I don't have a problem with it. I think what we have to like is a lack of, you know, the usage is still there, but a lack of Ibaka is going to make it very difficult for the Raptors to defend the front court. And Johnson should be able to do some really good work. He's going to get PJ Tucker probably, which I don't love, but he's not going to get PJ Tucker the whole time. I think he'll be very useful here. You could easily, though, talk yourself into Dirk. You could very easily, though, also go down to Marquise Chris at 5-1, who's been getting huge, huge minutes for the Suns. Good God. Come on, Sean. Anyway, at center, easy, man. Nurk alert, 6'7", or 7'6", excuse me, 7'6". Here's what I love, right? I don't think that Portland's going to blow the Knicks out. I don't. I think between Derrick Rose and Nurk, or excuse me, and Porzingis, they're going to probably be able to score some buckets, keep up the pace. Carmelo thrown in 25 minutes of just, you know, three-pointers. But the thing about Nurk is that you remember the Blazers game? Or not the Blazers game. You remember the 76ers game? I remember the 76ers. Very similar profile as far as DVP, points, rebounds allowed. You know, we saw DeAndre Jordan go just over a point and a quarter per minute there. And I think, you know, Nurk has kind of fallen off. He's not nearly as explosive. I don't think he's got good legs right now at this point in the season. But I think, you know, we saw 40-pointers from him, and it's Miami, Atlanta, 36 against San Antonio. This is a way better matchup than any of those are. I love it. I love Nurk for 40. I think it's an easy number for him to get here tonight. I'm locking Nurk in for sure. And, we're not going to get outlier performance like that 70-pointer. We're not going to get double-digit blocks or anything crazy like that. But we will get a good Nurk line of 20 and 10. You know, we'll start there, and we'll throw in a couple blocks, and we'll see what we get after that. He's just in a really good position in this situation to crush. So I'm all over Nurkic tomorrow night as well. Now let's dive into the bargain basement. There's a couple pieces down here. There's a couple interesting pieces. And I guess the more that I look at this slate, the more I'm kind of like, okay, not bad. There's one or two at each spot that I feel good about. At point guard, I think we got to start with Dinwiddie. He's getting Brooklyn. He's getting Phoenix. But he's really been given the ball and given a lot of minutes, 30 minutes in the last two games. And playing well with those minutes. You know, he hadn't really been doing much of anything this year, but in plus matchups and fast-paced matchups, Dinwiddie seems to be pretty successful. So I don't mind Dinwiddie in this spot at 4-6. You know, I think you could say easily that he goes 5x and gets you 25 points here in this situation against the Suns. At shooting guard, gosh, this is a little thin. You know, you got Josh Richardson there. He's been filling in for Waiters. And he has way more scoring upside than Wayne Ellington. Like, if you're debating that, don't go Ellington. Ellington is fine sometimes, but he really doesn't score. Richardson can score. He's starting to get it together a little bit with extra minutes. He's getting a couple more buckets up there. The one that's interesting is maybe Wesley Matthews. If Seth Curry isn't in, you got to think Wesley Matthews gets a whole lot of run in this situation. And at 4,500, he's not priced properly for what he's capable of. We saw him with games over 35 points this season. You know, Wesley Matthews can really fire the basketball. So, you know, I don't mind a three-point shooter like Matthews. J.J. Redick's not a bad defender, but they match up pretty well. I think it's a pretty much a wash, pretty average. And, you know, you have a nice price for Matthews that I think that that's not a bad spot to go to him, especially with the possible usage bump and no Seth Curry in the lineup. Other than that, I think maybe you could go down to Caris LeVert. LeVert getting some good run, and he will be getting Phoenix in this situation. I don't mind LeVert at all. And I even think that you could talk yourself into some Justin Holiday. Holiday against the Portland second unit, not bad. I mean, he's part of that youth movement. They want to see what they have. They know what they have in Courtney Lee. They're not really giving Courtney Lee many minutes right now. Just kind of letting Courtney Lee be and just say, we know what we got here. You played all season. Let's see what we got in Holiday. See if we want to re-sign him. That's kind of it for me, to be honest with you, though. I don't know necessarily that I want to dive too deep. Randy Foy is going to be starting, but not interested, really. Not interested in that. So let's move on to small forward. Small forward, there's one really, really clear quality option, and that's Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. We don't like playing small forwards against Phoenix, but we do like playing fours against Phoenix, and Hollis-Jefferson really actually plays the four. Now, the really nice thing would be if Trevor Booker rests for whatever reason because they want to go youth here, which they've been doing, to be clear. I'm not just making that up. They've been giving, Trevor Booker rest just so they can let Hollis-Jefferson have all the minutes. I think RHJ is in play. I'll think twice about him if Booker's in there. Just because he bites into his minutes, he won't get more than 30. But I like Hollis-Jefferson in this spot. A really good price, really good matchup, pace up. And you got to think maybe they're going to hand the keys to some of the young guys, two tanking teams here. And then at power forward, we said Marquese Chris absolutely in play. Like him quite a bit in this spot. No reason to go away from Marquese Chris whatsoever. And then, I think you can actually also go down to and look at Noah Vonleh. I know that kind of makes us a little bit nervous, but Vonleh has been getting huge run. He's basically playing the second unit center behind Nurk and then playing alongside Nurk. He's stealing a lot of Al-Farouq Aminu time, getting 28, 29, 27 minutes in the last two. And he doesn't do anything extremely well, but he does rebound and he does score. So, last game, 8-8, that's great. We'll take that from a $3,800 player and getting 30 minutes. So I like Noah Vonleh. In fact, I think that he's a pretty solid value on this slate, and I think you kind of want to get on him before he's up over 5K, 4K. With pretty good price there for a guy who's getting almost 30 minutes a game. Really, I will take that. I'll take that. Take that. All right. And then at center centers. There's not much, honestly. Maybe if Alan Williams is out again, then Alex Len 100%. I think Williams is in play as well, but he's not really a value center. And that's pretty much it, to be honest with you. I don't really see myself going down much further than that. I could see Jonas Valanciunas for some people talking themselves into JV against Whiteside, who's not a really good defensive center. A nice price for Valanciunas, but Valanciunas he can disappear, man. He'll get you 20, but the minutes just aren't there really. Some games, he could go for 15 minutes and they'll pull him. But you got to think that with no surge in the lineup, they're going to give him a little bit of extra run to try and protect the rim. So we'll see. We'll see. He always scares me, to be honest with you. All right, let's go ahead into lineup lock, where we figure out exactly how we're going to build this lineup. I'm going to first give you guys my core, my favorite plays of the night here. My favorite plays of the night are starting at point guard. I love Tyler Ulis. I'm shooting guard, I'm not really locking in one in. I'm seeing that one as a little bit more flexible. At small forward, I'm going to lock in TJ Warren. It's power forward, I'm going to lock in Kristaps. And then at center, I'm going to lock in Yusuf Nurkic. So that's my core. Again, that's Ulis, Warren, Kristaps, Nurkic. I think they're all priced well. They're all in good matchups and in good positions to succeed. So let's start there and see what else we can build up. Okay, so like I said, roster construction really a bear here. But I think, you know, if we start with that core, you know, we want to get those shooting guards in that we really like. That's CJ and Devin Booker. Nice upside there for sure. At power forward, I'm going to lock in Noah Vonleh. I just think you're going to need one solid punt play on this slate. And given matchup, you know, with the rebounding rate that the Knicks have, I think Vonleh is in the best position, you know, to do some good work there. And that is interestingly enough that I you could plug in Dinwiddie. But you know, don't love Dinwiddie right now. So I'm left with $6,700 per position in a small forward and a point guard slot. Okay. So there's two ways you can do this. Kind of depends on how you want to do it. You can go with, Kawhi, you know, and then you have $4,200 left, which isn't enough for Dinwiddie, but it is enough for JJ Barea, who will probably get, you know, 25 minutes against the Clippers, and is pretty productive with those minutes. You know, I know Spectre will like that call. He likes him some JJ Barea. You know, or you can flip flop that, you could spend in the mid tier here. Maybe you could go with, a combination of like, Tyler Johnson and maybe a Carmelo, I guess, if you wanted to go with Carmelo. I don't really want to go with Carmelo, to be honest. Then, the other option is, maybe you go down to a real value play like a Vince Carter, that's not quite it. I was going to say Vince Carter. You know, if you go down to a serious value play, like a min price small forward, maybe like a Mindauskas Kuzminskas, who, you know, strangely enough, got some run in that Clippers game, and they're kind of maybe seeing what he can do. Okay, we get Kuz in there, and then you can fit in Dame as your other point guard. That's interesting. But you're taking a massive punt with Kuzminskas, you know? But that might be interesting as well. Although, you know, the more secure version of what I just said is Barea and Kawhi. So let's review that lineup real quick. Okay, at the core, we obviously know we got Ulis, Warren, Kristaps, and Yusuf. And then we're filling in around them with JJ Barea. So it's Tyler Ulis, JJ Barea, CJ McCollum, Devin Booker, TJ Warren, Kawhi Leonard, Kristaps, Noah Vonleh, and then Yusuf Nurkic at center. You know, and obviously you can toy with it however you want. It's kind of hard. I built like five lineups where I was like, oh, perfect. And it was $100 short. You know, it's kind of one of those slates. So toy with it. Good luck, you guys. Hey, look for the cheat sheet. If you're not already looking for the cheat sheet, look for it. And good luck in your contests on Thursday night. And holy, holy Giannis. I mean, dude at the half, 46 fantasy points. I'm going to repeat that for you. 46 fantasy points. Man is an animal, absolutely destroying Sacramento right now. So hey, if you've got Giannis shares, which we talked about him on the pod, you know, I said he is the ideal late hammer. If you can afford him, go to him. Wish I had, because he's gonna win some people some money tonight. But hey, guys, good luck in your contest tomorrow, and I will see you for Friday.